presenting Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
CX-4 calling control tower. CX-4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Control tower back to CX-4. Wind southeast, ceiling 1200. All clear.
Okay, this is Hop Harrigan coming in.
Yes, it's America's ace of the airways. Coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan.
Say, gang, our aviation news ticker has brought in news of North American super streamlined jet-propelled fighter, the XP-86. That's the new ship designed for high-speed flight, approaching the speed of sound. The report we have says the new plane has completed its initial test flights at the Muroc Air Base in California, and the first flights went off without a hitch. There's still a lot of testing to be done at the Desert Air Base, and it's going ahead day by day. At first, the Air Force kept all details of the fighter a secret. Well, now information is being released. The streamlined jet fighter was designed and built to come nearer to the speed of sound under actual combat conditions than any other American fighter. Air Force officials say the speed will be over 600 miles an hour with a range of more than 1,000 miles. Say, here's something that surprised me. Up to a little while ago, there was only one of our 48 states still not on a regular airline route. That state was Delaware. And that was the surprise because Delaware is a busy manufacturing center. But a few days ago, Delaware was relieved of its embarrassment when two major airlines began regular passenger and cargo service at Newcastle County Airport, a short distance from Wilmington. The air carriers, American and TWA, have scheduled a total of 4 daily flights into the 800-acre former Army Air Base. During the war, the field was a jumping-off point for ATC flights across the Atlantic. In just a few minutes, gang, I'll be back with more up-to-date news from around the air lane, so don't forget to listen. And now to our story. From Lakeville to New Orleans, from New Orleans to Managua, and now out of Managua, roaring over open ocean, southward toward Guayaquil in Ecuador, Hop, Tank, and John Temple fly an Army B-26 in pursuit of Carlos Mendez. The Argentinian, carrying the Lakeville Bell in a Fairchild packet, and with Gail Nolan, his prisoner, is heading for the safety of his ranch. The boys are desperately trying to cut down his 1,500-mile lead. But in our last episode, a warning was sent from a small tramp steamer which was battling storm-tossed waters about winds of hurricane force directly on Hop's course. And as static interferes with radio reception, the young pilot flies headlong into danger.
Boy, this set sure is kicking up an awful racket. Can't hear a thing.
Try a couple of other stations on the coast, Hank.
No soap. Wonder what's wrong with it.
Maybe getting some weather interference. Might as well turn it off.
Doesn't look too bad, Hop.
Well, those clouds up ahead are pretty thick. Yeah, I don't like them.
We'll be able to get through all right, won't we?
Oh, yes, if the weather isn't breaking.
Well, where are we now?
Tank's doing the navigating, ask him.
Well, where are we, Tank?
Oh, we ain't doing too bad. About 500 miles south of Managua and 400 southwest of Panama. We ought to hit the coast in, well, about 2 hours.
Near Guayaquil.
Yeah.
We're certainly a long way from land now.
You ain't getting nervous, are you, John?
Well, no, but you've got to admit the ocean doesn't make a very good runway in case of trouble.
Why, there ain't going to be no trouble.
And flying this course, we'll cut down Mendez's lead.
Where do you suppose he'll land?
Well, he must be close to South America now, and he'll have to refuel pretty soon.
We'll hit Colombia first. Let's see where the big airfields are down there. Well, not so many. One at Bogota, the capital.
Tank, it's Bogota.
And what's this?
Medellin. Those were the only 2 big cities on his course.
The radio was only working. I could alert the field managers.
There's still time.
Hey!
Hang on!
What happened?
Just hit a bump.
Just. Look at the altimeter. We dropped 500 feet.
They're getting close to that overcast. Yeah, it's rough.
Let's hope they don't get no rougher.
But even as Tank speaks, the Martin Marauder is hit by another downdraft, and Hop is forced to fight the controls to bring the ship level again. Now, a worried frown wrinkles his brow. The weather is thick and heavy, storm clouds sweeping around him on all sides. And above the steady drone of the engines, he can hear the low, menacing rumble of thunder. The young pilot realizes he's in for a tough battle. Meanwhile, 600 miles to the east, the box-like Fairchild packet, piloted by Carlos Mendez, roars through clear skies over South American soil. In the cargo compartment, Gail Nolan is trying to figure out a way to help young Christopher Cross, who is trapped beneath the massive 10-ton Lakeville Bell. He can't get out, and without food or water, is in serious trouble. Finally, she comes to a decision.
Senor Mendez! Senor Mendez!
The flight compartment hatch opens almost immediately, and Carlos Mendez, his olive-skinned features creased in a confident smile, saunters in.
Yes, Miss Nolan? You called me?
Yes, I did.
What can I do for you?
My arms are getting awfully sore. I wonder if you'd loosen the ropes.
So, it would seem you've had a change of heart, then.
Yes.
You're not quite as arrogant as you were before.
It's really very uncomfortable. I promise I won't cause any trouble.
Well, you have had a change of heart.
Will you, please?
Gladly, my dear Miss Nolan. If you will be still a moment.
Thank you. And, if the offer still holds, I would like something to eat.
Oh, better and better. You are really becoming cooperative.
I haven't had anything to eat since breakfast yesterday.
I was wondering how long you could hold out. Ah, there you are.
Oh, thank you.
I suggest you rub your arms, restore the circulation, and I shall bring you something to eat right away.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Not at all, Miss Nolan. Not at all.
Chris. Chris, can you hear me?
I hear you, Miss Nolan.
You all right?
I'm awful hungry.
I know you must be. I'll try to get something for you. How'd you get in there, anyhow?
I saw them bring the bell on the field. And when they weren't looking, I climbed up and hung onto the tongue. The bell was on the truck then, and the edge was sticking over the side.
Oh, is there enough air under there?
Oh, sure. The edge of the bell's up in a block of wood on the other side. There's about 6 inches clearance. But it ain't enough for me to get out.
At least I can get some food into you.
Now look, Miss Nolan, don't you worry about a thing.
What?
I'm here and I'll help you. You tell that Mendez to go jump in the lake.
Oh, Chris. Quiet, he's coming back.
Ah, looking for something, Miss Nolan?
Why, no.
Do not try to deceive me. You wish to learn the secret of the bell, yes? Why I have gone to so much trouble to get it.
Well, yes. Yes, that's it.
When we have reached my ranch in Argentina, then perhaps I will show you something amazing. But now, here is food. I trust you will find it satisfactory.
Thank you. I'm sure I will.
Now, is there anything else I might do for you?
No, nothing. Oh, when will we get to your ranch?
Not for some time yet. We land at Bogota in a few minutes to refuel, and then we start on the next to the last lap. At dawn, perhaps, we will reach Cañada Verde, and there we will be safe from all possible pursuit. There I shall reveal to you the secret of the bell.
Under Mendez's watchful eyes, Gail tries to look as though she's eating ravenously, but does her best to save as much as she can for Chris. When Mendez finally leaves her, she runs to the other side of the bell and slides the paper plate under the edge to the very hungry young boy.
Here, Chris.
Gosh, thanks, Miss Nolan.
Hurry up, and don't forget to give me back the cup and plate.
Sure thing.
Did you hear what he said, Chris?
About the bell? Yeah.
What do you suppose he means? What secret?
You've got me. But you'll know when we get to his ranch.
Tomorrow morning. But then what are we going to do about you, Chris? What are we going to do about you?
Raising her hand to her head in an unconscious gesture of worry and fear, Gail battles with the problem which will face them at dawn. Chris has done a brave thing in following Gail, but now he's in grave danger. When the bell is unloaded, he's sure to be found, and Mendez is ruthless. Gang, we'll rejoin Hop, Tank, and John Temple in just a moment, so stand by. You know, fellas and girls, the Navy has come up with a new development that should be of tremendous help to pilots of planes such as the PBM Mariner. It's a floating seaplane berth, perfected by the Bureau of Yards and Docks. The new berth has the advantage of being able to move out from shore to meet incoming waterborne aircraft. Built on pontoons, the seaplane slip operates along a 600-foot submerged cable and can be swung about in any direction to permit a plane to taxi into the wind while entering the slip. Pilots like that because they're relieved of the sometimes difficult task of maneuvering a large plane to a dock in choppy seas and high winds. Furthermore, the actual mooring of a seaplane to the movable dock is the easiest thing in the world. The seaplane berth's wide entrance is lined with a series of 6 water jets, 3 on each side. The water jets are used to push the plane from one side of the berth to the other. At the same time, the plane is moving slowly into the mooring end. The mooring base is constructed on 134 pontoons assembled in such a way that the slip can be lowered or raised whenever desired. That way, it can also be used as an emergency dry dock, as well as a mooring berth. The lowering and raising is accomplished by pumping water in or out of certain sets of pontoons. Seaplane pilots are sure to like the floating berth because it means easier and safer landings with a minimum of trouble from waves and winds. All sections of American aviation are constantly working on improvements such as this new seaplane slip. New planes, new engines, new designs all add up to better service for customers and better defense for the nation. There's one job, though, that aviation is counting on you fellas and girls to do. They need pilots and technicians to man these planes of the future. So always remember, America needs flyers. And now, back to our story. Dark, threatening storm clouds have closed in around the Martin Marauder, and after a half hour of rough, bumpy flying, the weather has broken in full force. Vivid blue-white flashes of lightning crackle dangerously close to the storm-tossed plane, and the rolling, crashing thunderclaps beat against Hop's, Tank's, and John's ears as though shouting a promise of instant destruction. The perspiration pouring down his cheeks, Hop keeps the plane charging forward as Tank and the FBI agent hang on grimly, sweating it out with him.
Boy, this is the roughest we ever tried to carve through.
Think we can make it, Hop?
We're still flying. Yeah, but how long can we take? Every second I expect a wing to rip off. Here it comes. Hold tight. There. We're level.
Honest, I don't see how we're doing it.
Well, can't you climb and get over the storm?
Or dive, maybe. Get under it.
I can't do anything. My hands are full just keeping this baby in the air.
So what would happen if lightning hit the plane?
Probably wreck the ignition system.
And then?
Start trying to remember your swimming lesson. We hit the drink fast.
Thanks. Next time I won't ask questions.
See any break in the clouds, Tank?
You kidding? Can't see nothing except trouble.
Well, check our fuel supply.
Don't tell me we're running out of gas.
Well, we're bucking stiff headwinds. We're being thrown all over the sky. Lord knows where we'll be when we get clear.
If we get clear.
Go on, get me a reading.
Yeah.
Then you think we won't have enough to reach Guayaquil?
I know we won't have enough.
What?
I'm worried about reaching the coast. How about a tank?
Not too good. Auxiliaries are all empty and the main tanks are only about half full.
That's going to be tight.
Here we go again.
This will be bad.
Rider, Hop, rider.
Trying to.
Feels like we're being thrown all over the sky.
We are. Hop, we're turning over. Watch it.
I can't do anything about it. Hang on.
I'm getting dizzy.
Sure. We're flying upside down.
And get her right side up, quick.
Controls won't answer.
The ship can't take it. She'll fall apart. Hop, do something.
Clutched in a giant hand, the Martin Marauder hangs suspended in midair, upside down. Hop, Tank, and John, dangling from the safety belts, fight a mounting dizziness. But try as he may, the young pilot cannot right the ship. Gang, you won't want to miss a word of our next suspense-packed episode. So tune in and fly with Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves. So long, Hop. We'll be seeing you same time, same mutual station. Hop Harrigan is a transcribed, copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazines.